All right, welcome to another episode of I Bought a Business. Today, I'm not going to go to the footage. I want to paraphrase a little bit more just because I went back through it. I'm doing a lot of rambling. Things are still in a very up and down place. And so I want to fast forward just a little bit and share basically how my worst nightmare came true. So when I left off, I'm in freakout mode. I'm stabilizing a little bit, but I realize maybe I may have jumped in, even though it took a year. Maybe there was a lot I didn't know about. I'm very terrified of this whole thing. But within the next week, I'm feeling okay. So I told you there had been a cancellation list, a wait list. I had the previous owner help me hire my next person so I could at least fill that, because for my profits to get to where I wanted them to be, I really needed to get to a 5-person full-time place. We were at 3. So I needed to start filling up that next person. And it was like a catch-22. Hiring was so interesting. So for pod growth, it hasn't been awful to hire. I've been able to find people and great staff easily. Where with this, it was literally like 20% of people who would apply and who I'd reach out to would actually show up for the interview. So finding great help was definitely more difficult. And there were certain things I wanted to know what to ask and all of that. So she helped me do that. We get another person. And again, I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't want to like put the pedal to the metal in the marketing and then have you leave, because obviously this is a flaky group of people. But just getting him ramped up and trying to get him to that full-time status was interesting. So we get to that place. The owner then, just a little under 2 weeks, leaves, and I'm okay with it. Like, it was coming to an end. I knew there was still questions I had. There were still things I didn't know, but I'm feeling a little okay. By the end of 2 weeks, I'm actually starting to sleep at night. I'm not having crazy nightmares. And then the next week happened. So this particular day is a Tuesday. Tuesdays are generally slow, and now I've got the tool sharpener guy coming in. So this is where diet is so important. So I'm not eating. I dropped probably about 15 pounds within the first few months of building this, because I'd get so busy every day. I would never really go and eat, and it was really bad. So I'm not eating. This is the day, like, right around my husband's birthday. So I'm not eating, but I made him a cake, and it's a Reese's peanut butter cheesecake. It's really good. So of course, like, I'm like, pop in a few peanut butter. That's all I'm eating is peanut butter cups, like the whole day before. So my anxiety is through the roof. I am just in a very bad place this day. And the guy comes in, he's like, hey, did you know about the grooming place down the road? This old lady bought it, and she bought it for her daughter, and her daughter ditched her, and she's really struggling. It's so bad down there. Like, it's just falling to pieces, and you feel so bad for this lady and he's telling me all this, and I'm like, oh my God, like, my brain is going to the worst place possible. On the same day, and I'm like, okay, Aaron, it's going to be okay. You're not the lady. You are not, like, you are going to be okay. Like, this is not you. This is not your story. Stop. And then on the same day, I'm sitting at the front area and I'm looking across and I see this building going up and I'm like, what is that going to be? It happens to be a direct competitor going in literally across the street. The irony of this whole thing was it is the franchise where I got this idea to buy this business. So one of my podcast clients was interviewing a guy who went from Orange Theory's fitnesses to now he was going into this new franchise, which was all dog grooming related, and they're going across the street. I'm like, whoa, isn't this irony? And in true Aaron format, I probably should have researched, like, any new places going in around the corner. Like, probably should have Googled that. I didn't. So, surprise. So, Tuesday is just, again, really realizing where diet is crucial and all, like, the I think I'm okay, just crash that day. Then we fast forward on to the rest of the week. I told you in the last episode, I had a bad feeling. I had a bad feeling about one of the employees. I just felt something was up and my intuition was correct. So, the employee comes up to me. I think it was a Thursday or Friday. And they're like, did a previous owner tell you about me? And I'm like, I know about you, but what do I not know? What am I not knowing? I don't know what they told me versus, and they said, yeah, I'm leaving at the end of the year. This is the end of September. I'm leaving at the end of the year and, I'm starting my own business. Growing your business may feel like a daunting task. Between a new AI tool every minute, social media, content marketing, knowing what to do and when to do it feels like a job in and of itself. And let's be honest, as a business owner, you're probably already wearing several thousand hats, and marketer is just a heavy one to wear. But what if I told you there's an easier way? And yeah, what if you only needed just 1 hour a day for marketing and learning how to grow your business? And that's what my community, the 1 Hour Marketer, is all about. We do all the work for you in reviewing AI tools, creating the system that works for you, that's easy for you to follow, and gets your business growing in no time. We show you how to figure out what tools to use, what content method is best for your company, and how to grow into a place where you can start hiring people and enjoying your business again. Come join us over at the 1 Hour Marketer. Click the link in the show notes to learn more and join. This is a very interesting conversation that my husband and I have had multiple times, where what is the obligation for disclosure? Would have been definitely nice to know had I closed. Like, that we're not talking one employee out of 20, okay? We're talking one employee out of three. One third of my staff is not just leaving, but starting a competitive company and potentially taking a ton of clients with them. Now, in this process too, understand, it is so much harder than I thought from a coming into this thing. I knew everybody loved the previous owner. I didn't realize how much they'd hate me. And it was like disdain. Like 50%, I would say, were like really excited for her. And they were like, congratulations. I mean, she had it for 17 years. And she was not an absentee owner. She was there all the time. They had grown very close to her. The other 50%, I would say, there was one moment. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I'm sitting behind the counter and I'm checking this lady out. And she's like, ugh, like, I just don't think I'm ever going to get used to you being there. I completely look at when people say the business was bought by a new owner and it's not the same, like it's not the same as when they say it like that. I look at it at such a different way, because I was so hellbent that I am going to keep this the same. No one will ever say it's not the same. I'm going to keep the same staff. I'm going to keep the same processes. Like, I do not like the paint color in there, but I'm like, I'm going to keep the same paint color. I will never change any of this because it will never be, I'm never going to get that, it's not the same. Maybe somebody will say, it's not the same in a good way, but I won't do that. It's just inevitable. Like, all the things could have gone wrong, the things that, you know, something here or something there. And had she been there, they would never have seen it. But now that I'm there, they see it. Like, I am under a microscope. I am not like, it was really hard. Like, there, like I said, there were genuine people that were just like really upset that I was there. And it was hard. Like, it's hard mentally on you because I'm really trying to do my best. Like, I want this to be so successful. I'm going to do a whole video on a 4-star review. Don't even get me started on this right now. But it just happens, right? As much as I wanted to keep this the same, it wasn't the same. I wasn't the owner. I could have kept everything the same, but I wasn't her. So people were just already downright angry at me. So I'm dealing with that. And then I've got one of their beloved groomers is leaving. And I can't just be like, get out, because now they're really going to hate me. I've got to keep the peace as much as possible. And I've got to figure out how I'm going to mitigate this situation as much as possible. Now, everyone was very used to, because there was a year-long waiting list, because they were packed full, they were used to at this time in the September, October timeframe, the previous owner would start booking out the following year. So everybody wanted to be booked out the following year. So I said to them, I'm like, just give me 2 months. Give me 2 months to book everybody out. My goal was hopefully I would win them over with my great personality and show them how much I cared about this business and how much I cared about them and all of these things. And I would win their business back. And so when I could announce that they were leaving in December 1st, that they would stay. Okay. I had no idea of the bloodbath that was about to happen. Had you said, Aaron, this is going to happen after you buy this business, I would have said, no, thank you. This is really unstable. There's a lot of potential. Like, this is bad. It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I did not win a lot of people over from, they were going to leave regardless. Now, the advice one of my staff members gave me, who's now my manager, she was like, just tell them and let them decide. You tell them and let them do what they're going to do. But I was like, no. I think this idea is going to work. I told her later, I'm like, I should have listened to you. You were right. Because I just was really trying to keep the peace and hang on to this, not realizing how much people just were not going to stay. So I had to figure out how I was going to mitigate this. It was definitely a blow. Like I said, it's a very interesting conversation about the obligation of the owner in disclosing information. I find it very, I mean, my husband and I have talked about this in length because I'm like, he's like, she hid it from you. I'm like, yeah, but you're in her shoes. What would you have done? Like, you know, there's a chance it could go. There's no guarantee employees are going to stay. It's not part of the contract. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee clients are going to stay. It's not in the contract. So is there an obligation? I find it strange there was nothing told to me in the 2 weeks of transition, because I even asked specifically, is there something going on with this person? I asked it specifically and they're like, no, everything's good. So withholding truth and completely lying, that's one thing. But also, like, if it's in the value of the business, like, where's the line, right? So, okay, I don't tell about one employee, but what if you knew, like, hey, I'm about to buy this and, like, I've got all three employees who are about to go out the door and start their own thing? It's an interesting question. One, I don't have the answer to. Maybe somebody, I'm sure somebody does. And I'm really interested in bringing on, I'll start interviewing people with this eventually, because as I was buying, as I was closing, one of their clients, one of our client, my client now, was actually in the process of buying a similar style business. I won't get into exactly, but they had the same issue where right before close, three of their people picked up and walked out to start their own thing. So again, where is the obligation when you have a service-based business? People, you make money specifically off the services, and the sellers full on know that part of your income is walking out the door either right before you close or right after you close. It's a very interesting conversation. So I thought I was evening out. And little did I know it would be, I'll talk through in the upcoming episodes what I decided to do, how I went heavy on payroll, how I went to like say, okay, I know this is happening. How do we ramp up and get this taken care of? I had no idea. I really underestimated the amount of customers that were left, that were going to leave. I really thought I could keep it, and it did not happen. So it was a very interesting next few months. But like I said, worst nightmare ended up happening, and I was suddenly left with, how am I going to figure this all out? Sleep at night. And then there's a whole family aspect that was happening behind the scenes too, which I will talk about, because I almost didn't buy it based on some issues that were happening. And then it was a big, big undertaking of keeping all these balls in the air, trying to keep my family in the air and do what I'd normally done, and sleep at night. So my health declined a lot. My sleep declined a lot. And even the family life declined a lot over these next few months as I tried to keep all this in the air. So this was week number three, just slapping at me in all different angles, but I kept going.